Yay! Hello! We are live. I am so excited about today's conversation. If you're just joining for the first time, I am Abiola Abrams, and this is the Secrets of the Ancestors Oracle Virtual Festival to celebrate the launch of my new deck. And so I had the brilliant idea of why not just chat with amazing deck creatrixes about their process to celebrate the launch. And so I'm here with the incredible, the magical, the beautifulist, Yasmin Bolin. Hello, Goddess Yasmin.
Hello, Goddess Abiola. How are you?
I am great. I am great. It is so wonderful to always, and anytime I see you, to be connected to you. You always have this beautiful energy that is so still and so solid and so lovely.
Oh, thank you. That's beautiful.
So I wanted to begin by us delving into who you were before building the Moonology Empire. So if we were to come and fly back in time and meet little Yasmin, who would we meet? Who were you before all of this?
I mean, I was someone who grew up in Hobart, Tasmania. I was actually born in Germany, but I grew up in Hobart, Tasmania, which is the island state of Australia. And I actually grew up in a Catholic family, and my mum, who is increasingly sort of cosmic and spooky herself, she was actually very scared of anything sort of new age or magical because she'd grown up in a very Catholic environment in Malta, which is a country in the Mediterranean, if you don't know it. And so I grew up with her kind of going, oh, you know, there's a fine line between madness and that sort of stuff. But then after I left home and I started to kind of do my own thing a bit more, I became much more interested in astrology and in particular numerology, I was interested in as well. I was a journalist and I was specializing in celebrity interviews. I was fascinated by interviewing big famous people. I didn't know it wasn't just Hollywood people. It could be you know, the head of, I don't know, like in Australia we have a company called BHP, which is a mining company, and I would be interested to meet the CEO of that, or I would have been fascinated to meet, you know, Steve Jobs, or you know, anyone who's really excelled in their field. So I was a journalist for a long time. I worked in Australia, then I worked in London, which is where I live now. And I was also a TV producer. I always say for my sins, because it was an absolute nightmare from start to finish. I would not recommend anyone to work in television. It's really tough.
It. Yep.
Have you?
Can
Yeah, it's,
confirm.
it, I wasn't cut out for it. I really am at heart, I'm a writer. And so that's why I became a journalist. And I found that TV, I barely got to do any writing. I was working with a whole, especially in one job in particular, with a whole lot of cocaine fueled loonies. And I just didn't have, funnily enough, I didn't have the skills to cope with it. This is my dog making noises. Jonty, what's up? Come here.
Hi, Jonty.
I'm having a moment. But weirdly, in fact, it was the worst job I ever had in TV. That got me that I was so stressed, and it was rich, literally, like there was coke around the office all the time, and people were just relationships breaking up left, right, and center because it was such a toxic environment. That when I finished that job, I managed to make it to the end of the season of that job, and I thought, you know what, I need tools to handle this, and I don't have them. And so I went and I learned to meditate because I just thought that would be a good thing to do. And I think I'd read or I was about to read the Celestine Prophecy, which was kind of a life-changing book for me. And I just segued from, you know, that life where I just felt it wasn't for me. And I, you know, I felt I was selling myself short into something, you know, which is what I do now, which I absolutely love, where I feel that I'm actually doing some good in the world.
Yes, you're doing lots of good in the world. And I love, thank you so much for sharing your background. We actually have several things in common. I also am the daughter and survivor of a Catholic mom. Also increasingly in touch with her gifts. And it's so interesting because, you know, as you said, you know, they're very, very scared about like, oh no, like, you know, but Catholicism has so much ritual and so much, you know, magic involved with itself. So it's a very interesting thing. And then I also was a journalist who worked in print and television
All
as
right,
well.
wow.
And wrote these pieces about like Kim Kardashian and people like that. And
Wow,
I've been a
okay.
TV presenter, and people would leave me like the worst comments, like, you know, cursing me out for writing about the Kardashians or whatever, but they don't understand that in online media that it's clicks. So the more that they would say, this is awful, the more then, you know, my publisher, my editor would be like, oh, this is great. Look at all the comments that you're getting.
Exactly.
So you started with the Celestine Prophecy, which also for me was a very transformational book. And I'm glad that you brought that up because we don't hear people talking about it as much as we used to. What for
James
you?
Redfield, wasn't it?
Yes. And he had the different the, then there was the one that came out afterward that was the additional. Was it, what were the principles called in the Celestine Prophecy? I don't remember what they were, the like the whatever they
I
were.
mean, the one I remember the most was there was no such thing as a coincidence.
Yes.
I remember that, and I think it was because I'd never really read a book like that.
Okay.
And I actually went to uni, university in Tasmania, and I studied English lit, where we had to read, Shakespeare and Chaucer and Dickens, and it
Yes.
sort of honestly put me off reading a bit.
Really?
I think it was kind of the opposite effect it was meant to have. Yes, I think it was supposed to open my mind, but I was like, honestly, and I think I started to get more interest in popular culture as a result of that, and TV and radio and music, newspapers and so on. But yeah, so I never, re I hadn't read, I wasn't a huge reader at the time,
Okay.
and I read this book, and and I actually read it when I was traveling in Thailand with a girlfriend, and yeah, it just opened my mind, and I remembered people always saying like, "Oh, it's so badly written." Sorry, my dog is just having a moment today. He's not usually like
Apologies
this, but
needed. No
I don't know.
apologies needed.
It's okay.
It's
It's
okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm okay. What's the matter? What's the matter? He's all right.
Baby.
Are
That's
you okay?
okay.
I think he's okay.
Okay.
Dutty, what's
Okay. If he's
the
not and we need to cut short, I'm happy to do so and continue a conversation at another time. We have to take care of our babies.
Yes, I think he's okay. Are you okay?
You want to get him
He's okay.
some water? I can
I think
chat
he's
while
okay.
you.
I think he's
Okay.
okay. I think he's okay. I think he was just coughing, sort of.
Oh.
Yeah, so what I was going to say was, yeah, everybody said it was so badly written. And and I eventually interviewed him. I eventually interviewed him. Now he's sneezing.
Oh.
And the reason why it was written sort of, it wasn't polished the way we used to books being polished, because he actually became obsessed with writing this book. And he said he became one of those people where you'd see him walking down the street, and he said he was sure people would cross the road to get away from him, because they were like, "Oh my God, there comes that James guy. He's going to tell us about his book that he wants to publish again." And he was sort of, like driving people away. And eventually he couldn't get a publisher. And so eventually he self-published, which was, this was around probably, what was it,
It
96 or something.
was like,
And,
yeah.
people didn't self-publish back then.
No.
And it wasn't a thing like it is now. It was quite remarkable. And so he self-published. And when it sold really, really well, some publishing company picked the book up, and they decided to publish it exactly as it was, which is why it wasn't, edited the way we're used to books being edited.
Right.
But it really did change my life, and it changed the life of a lot of people. I really think it was one of the first things that went out in the world, that really went mainstream and really, did what they would have said back in the 70s, just turn, tune people in and turn them on. And it coincided with me learning to meditate. I also read Deepak Chopra's book, Unconditional Life, which, again, this was 25, even 30 years ago now. So, I'm not sure how all these books are dated, but it came along at the exact time, right time for me. And so I really launched myself into meditating. And then as soon as I did that, my whole life changed. I went from being, a journalist and a TV producer to someone who was actually on the path almost straight away. And then astrology kind of came along very quickly after that. And here we are.
Oh wow. Okay. So we have a big jump. I would like to go back and get in, delve into that gap and know a little bit more about that. So your eyes have now been opened. You are saying, wow, okay. The idea of synchronicity, I remember it was quite shocking, especially the way that he outlined it. And the book is designed as this adventure, this quest, really. And so you're going on a quest with him. So with your personal quest, how did Tarot or Oracle specifically enter into your journey?
Yeah, I started doing that. I started working with intentions. I started eventually working with the moon, and I started to see that manifestation was a real thing. And I eventually got my first deal with Hay House, which was a book called Cosmic Love, which is still in print somewhere, but not really front and center. And that sort of went along and along and along. And eventually I ended up writing a book called Angel Astrology 101 with Doreen Virtue, who obviously was the queen of oracle cards back in the day. And one day we were having lunch, and she said to me, "Oh, I'm seeing a deck of cards. I'm seeing a deck of cards for us." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And as it turned out, the cards I wrote really came after she had left Hay House. But I always felt after that that I would write a deck of cards, because I was quite a Doreen Virtue fan, and she had predicted I would be writing a deck of cards. And I thought it would be with her. It wasn't with her, but then that's how I ended up writing my first deck of cards. I had been using her cards for quite a few years. I also got a deck of cards at one point when I was living in Paris back in the day, and I used tarot a lot for myself and for other people. But actually, a bit like Doreen's story, I became a little bit nervous of tarot because there are some really intense cards in there. And I think particularly after I became a mother, I didn't really want to, which was 2006, I didn't really want to get scary cards. So I used oracles more and more and more. So when Hay House eventually said to me after the success of my book Moonology, "Would you like to do a deck of Moonology cards?" I was like, "Oh my God, yeah, I would love to." Or, "Oh my goddess, I would love to." But I didn't, I was quite concerned about not knowing how to do it, because even though I'd been a journalist, I felt I knew how to write a book. I'd written multiple books by this stage, and I kind of knew the process. But I think what really perplexed me with the deck of cards was that, somehow they had to, in inverted commas, work, like
Absolutely.
somehow cards have to work. And I didn't know how I was going to make that happen. I didn't know what the process was. I was literally just doing it because I'd been asked to do it, although I was absolutely delighted to have my own deck. I just thought that was the best thing ever. And then I spoke to Rebecca Campbell, who I know you know, and I said, "Oh, Beck, I'm just having so much trouble. I don't know. And how do I make them work? And what am I going to do? And we keep changing this and this and blah, blah, blah." And she said, "Yasmin, just do some puja ceremonies. Do some ceremonies." Because I do, full moon ceremonies, fire ceremonies all the time, which I learned when I learned in India, where I go on a very regular basis. And I was like, "Oh my God, yes, of course." So I did ceremonies throughout the creation of the Moonology deck, and they came out and became the best-selling oracle cards in the world at one point. So I've always felt that, I was meant to do them, and the ceremonies really helped. And I'm really into cards, actually. I use them nearly every day. I use different people's cards. I don't always use mine. And I'm going to be looking forward to using your new deck actually when they come
Okay.
over.
Thank you, Yasmin. I thank you for sharing with us your journey. I think that it's so important for people to hear because oftentimes when they look at someone like you, the same way that you were looking at Doreen previously, we look at people on a pedestal and forget that we have access to magic
Yeah,
also
100%,
ourselves,
100%, and I actually think to just to big up Rebecca Campbell for a minute, that's one of the reasons why she is such a wonderful teacher, and she's been a great teacher for me, and I'm obviously older than her, but she's still been a great teacher for me because she really helped me connect with my power to create and to be myself and to use my own magic because I think. At somewhere between, being a hard-bitten journalist and being a meditator and getting on the spiritual path and then being a mum and trying to fit in for my son's sake, wanting to be kind of normal in inverted commas, so that my son's friends' parents didn't think I was some lunatic, I lost myself. And I think she helped me find myself just before, probably around 2014, 2015. We actually went away on a Hay House trip, funnily enough, and she really helped me come out of the spiritual closet because I'd kind of almost gone in there without realizing, and so that helped me express myself more as well. So we're all on a journey, all of us, including Rebecca. Like we're all, even Doreen Virtue, Anthony Robbins, you, anyone, Mel
All of
Robbins,
us.
whoever you want to say, everybody's on a journey, and we're just. We are, I think, very lucky that we get to sort of almost, whenever we go through challenging times in our lives, people who do the work that we do get to walk our talk and get to actually experience what it means to go through a trial by fire, say, or, surmount a challenge, however big it is or how little it is. And, it's just a privilege for us to actually be able to have all these tools that we have, these tools that get us through the tough times. And also, if I could just say, everybody watching can use these tools, and I just think it's like we all have to use them. And oracle cards are amazing because they, even if it's just once a day and you take a moment to connect with your divinity, you take a moment to connect with your higher self. What do I need to know? It's quite powerful.
It is quite powerful. It is quite powerful. And I think that it's very important that we maintain our connection to the divine. And you talked about the importance of ceremony and the importance of ritual. It's only in our modern times, in the societies that most of us who are watching live in, that we have created that separation between us and our own mysticism and power. And how beautiful and wondrous and splendid at the same time that we are in an era where they can just tune in on their device, on their personal device, and we have this sort of conversation where it doesn't have to be in the closet or behind closed doors, or where I very much feel that a part of the fear is that a lot of us have in our sense memory, fear of being ostracized or rejected or burned or
100%.
anger, or all of that is all, still there. And so
Yeah,
the daily
it's in our
ritual,
DNA.
it's in our DNA. Absolutely. Absolutely. So reclaiming ourselves with the daily ritual of being able to just pull a card and tap into our guidance and our
And
own.
journal about it or don't journal about it, but just take a moment to really go, okay, what am I being told? Can I just say, I can see Selena's made a comment. I can relate to wanting to seem normal for our kids' sake, which is so good. And funny punchline to my story was that eventually I thought, okay, I've got to come out of the closet. Like I saw Beck really helped me with that. And even almost not knowing she helped me with it as well as a little bit directly. And I remember one girl saying to me, one of the mothers for the kids saying to me, "Oh, Yasmin, as if we didn't know that that's what you were like." I thought I was doing a really good job of being normal.
I love that, and they're all like, "No, oh, that's the mystical,
As
magical
if we
woo-woo
didn't know
mama
any
right
of them, come on.
there." It's like what I said to on one of my retreats. I said to the group, I said, you know, it was my first retreat actually to Bali that I was in charge of, and I said, you know, I've been holding it in, and I feel like I've been holding back on not wanting to seem like I'm extra or over the top. And they're like, "What? You're obviously very extra and over the top. That's
Exactly. That's what
why
they love about you, because you shine your light.
here." Well, we aren't hiding anything, which we
Yeah.
shouldn't be, which
No,
we shouldn't be.
exactly.
So
Yeah. But
let's
it takes a
close
certain
with
amount of
our
courage to shine your light. You know,
yes.
like kudos to you for shining a light. It takes courage.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. I actually want to point out then, along with that, because again, I think that it's important that we share with people that, you know, we're all, as you said, works in progress. And I remember at our Hay House mixer in Arizona that I was there for maybe about, I don't know, 40 minutes or so. And then I had to run away because it was just overload, energetic
Yeah.
overload for me, you know, being in a room with, you know, all of these people who are my peers, but also people who I admire. And it was like,
Yeah.
ah, okay, you
I
know.
know. It gets a bit like that. I feel the same. In fact, I felt like that as well when we were both in Phoenix, Arizona recently for
Yeah.
I Can Do It. I remember thinking it's almost a bit like when you walk into the Mind Body Spirit Festival, if you've ever done that, and the energy is like, because you've just, it's, you know, even though some people might think it's a commercial thing, like they criticize it, but it's not that. It's that you've got so much power in the room. Because at the Mind Body Spirit Festival, you know, I'd say 99% of the people who are there are the real deal, and they're there because they are
Absolutely.
on the path and they are have something to share. And I think that can be like the Hay House author event. Sometimes it's like just one amazing person after another after another. And if, especially if you're feeling at all vulnerable, you know, it can, you know, it's like those memes where you see, you know, someone like floating through the air, and it's like what people think a spiritual awakening looks like. And then the second picture is someone like in
What
chaos and what it really looks like. Yeah, it's kind of like
it
that, you know.
really
And
looks
it's, and you know, I think as authors who get to mingle, I think we push each other's buttons in good ways, you know.
in
Not I'm
good
not
ways,
saying that in a bad way at all, but you know, everybody's there because they're, you know, they've got something to offer. So it's an interesting thing.
It really is. It really is. Okay, so let's close with this, Goddess Yasmin. So,
Okay.
with all of the energetic things that are happening in the world right now, at the time of this recording, we are just coming out of this incredibly intense solar eclipse and we're in new moon energy. What is it that you would like people to know, and what should they know right now with all of this, dealing with all of this intense energy?
So I think the number one thing at the moment is to go easy on yourself. You know, like it is a really intense time, and go easy on your kids and your partner and your friends. You know, if someone rubs you up the wrong way, try not to overreact. Try to be good to yourself. Try and do a bit of self-care. Jump in the bath, take a walk, have a shower, whatever it is that you do. I mean, I'm a Cancerian, so mine's got a lot of water in it, but you know, whatever you do to feel good, do that. And also be aware that we really are actually now at a point of change in the energies. There have been so many changes in the astrological landscape in the last year or two, and they're not over yet. And I was actually talking to an astrologer a lot of people will know called Rick Levine this morning for my podcast. And he and I were talking about the fact that Jupiter's about to change signs, and then Uranus is going to change signs, and Saturn's going to change signs, and Pluto has already changed signs and is going to kind of change signs one more time. It's like we are moving into a new era. And I feel, I mean, he and I didn't particularly agree on this. I feel like it really is the post-pandemic era. He doesn't, I don't know if what he thinks about the pandemic, we didn't go there, but he was like, man, I don't know if I want to relate to the pandemic. But yeah, no, definitely a new
Absolutely.
era.
I agree with you, and there's still the lingering grief of that, of loss of whether it was people or opportunities or innocence or,
Yeah,
you know, whatever
so
it
much.
is. So much, so much.
So the thing is, though, Abiola, so this new moon eclipse that we've just had, the Great American Eclipse, as they called it, it took place in the first sign of the zodiac, Aries, which even with no other input, you could say that is a new start because it's a new moon, a new start, eclipse, double new start in Aries, first sign of the zodiac, really a new start. And Terry's saying we are really at the point of change in the energies. Yeah, we really are.
Wonderful, wonderful, and absolutely in alignment, Goddess Yasmin. Thank you for sharing that with us. Let people know before you go where to find you, your podcast and your membership and all of the things you have going on.
Okay, well, I have the Mainly Moonology podcast and I have the Mainly Moonology membership because we deal with mainly moonology. But say, for example, on April 21 this year, the 28/1 this month, there's a massive Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is going to be another big shift. So I'll be covering that in my podcast, in my membership. So we do mainly moonology, except when the energies are so big that we do a bit of astrology as well.
Okay, and I just realized that we had a conversation with Yasmin Boland and Abiola Abrams. We haven't pulled any kind of card whatsoever, so I'm gonna just pull a card
Is this
for
your new
you
deck?
all for my new deck. And here it is, Secrets of the Ancestors Oracle. And I'm gonna
Beautiful.
invite you, if you're watching this, to screenshot it and then in your own deck to go deeper on the meaning as we are temporarily out of time here. Okay, so I'm gonna pull. We'll slow down the time, slow down the time, and allow it to be exactly what we are needing it to be. Okay, so we have pulled the Chiefess, strength tested, strength tested. And this deck actually has, it begins with the mirror cards of the major arcana. And so, strength tested is our message for right now in this energetic
So
shift.
our strength is being tested, our resilience is
Our
being
resilience
tested.
is being tested. And
Brilliant.
so, it's very important right now to love up on yourself. Self-care is incredibly important right now.
Which is
And
also very post-eclipse, you know. And
absolutely, yes.
I know this video will be seen beyond, but you know, especially for the anyone watching it live or nearly live, you know, the next week or so, just try and go easy on yourself and other people.
Yes, and other people. Indeed, indeed. Thank you, Goddess Yasmin, again for this sacred conversation. I adore you. Have a
Oh.
beautiful, beautiful rest of your day. And thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. Have a magical time wherever you are. Bye,
Thanks,
everyone.
Abiola.
You're welcome, Goddess.